Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
But a few months ago, God put it in my heart, leading up to Easter, hi, y'all, is to speak on the stories, the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. So the last 2 weeks, I spoke about the lost sheep, that there were 100 sheep, and the shepherd, the man, it wasn't even a shepherd, the man had he counted 99, so he had to secure the 99 and leave him and go find the one, okay? And he found him, and he rejoiced. He put that sheep over his shoulders, and he brought that sheep where it was supposed to be. And then the lost coin, there was a woman in this story, and this woman had a set of 10 coins, and she lost one of them and was desperate to find that coin. And so she lit a lamp, and which meant it was probably in the evening or at nighttime, where she wasn't going to wait till the next day, till the sun came up. So she lit a lamp because she was desperate to find that coin, and she swept her house and found that coin and rejoiced and called her friends and family in. And this third story is about a lost son, and we refer to it as the prodigal son. And the dynamics of the prodigal son, there's the father, there's the older son, and there's the younger son who went prodigal. But listen, I want to just let you know that in this service, these aren't just stories that Jesus told. Because Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15:45, Paul writes and says, look, the first Adam was alive. He was a living being. He said, but the second Adam, or the last Adam, who's Jesus, listen, became a life-giving spirit. See, that's what you have to understand here. What the Word, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay, so now God came to the earth as a man who had to be a sacrificial lamb for the sin of mankind. So he had to know no sin. Even though he was tempted in like manner as all of us, yet knew no sin. So here's Jesus that became the last Adam. Now this is huge, because God gave Adam dominion over everything. Jesus came back to restore dominion to God's people. Okay, but they just so happened to all be lost. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And see, what we have to understand now is that the church having a tremendous advantage, that but we have to be in one accord. See, being in one accord is a primary principle. It's the formula of the kingdom is one accord. You know, you've heard Pastor Sandy and I, and we've talked about marriage, we've talked about parenting. Any struggles that we've had in either of that, in our relationship, it all boils down to that we weren't in agreement. You know, just recently, just a few weeks ago, we sat down and we were talking, and Sandy said, Bill, we're just not in agreement. And I'll tell you what that caused me is to stop me in my tracks. I didn't tap the brake. I didn't, no, you know what? I jammed on the brake pedal and said, okay, that's it. Because how powerful agreement is. The Bible says, where two are gathered in his name, Jesus will join us and be in the midst of us. And where two agree as touching anything. Everybody say anything. Amen. As touching anything. Say it again. It'll be done for me. And the Bible says, because it glorifies God. See, that one accord thing is huge. And see, we realize that. So if there's anything we struggle in our relationship or anything, I'm telling you, it's because there's the contention of her being a woman, me being a man, having opinions, her being able to talk a lot better than I do. I've become a very good listener, don't you think, Sandy? A very good listener. And you got to be good at something, fellas. But understanding this is that when we come into one accord, and that's what Jesus is talking about. And let me tell you where this all started in Luke 15, is that Jesus came and he was eating and hanging out, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time, took notice of who Jesus was hanging out with and what he was doing with them, that he was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, and he even ate with them. Man, he's investing in this relationship. And see, we've got to look at it and understanding this. When these scribes and these Pharisees at the beginning of the 15th chapter of Luke were judging Jesus for that, Jesus said, let me tell you some stories. The Bible refers to them as parables. told him the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin. And then he got to this. This was the cleanup hitter of the stories. This is going to clear the bases. He said that a certain man had two sons. And in these two sons were, and he, this guy had riches. This guy was very well off. And these two sons worked for him and worked with him alongside him. And the younger son came to his father and he said, you know what? I want my portion of the inheritance. This is significant because those scribes and Pharisees in the day that they were living in, the firstborn got the inheritance and he split it with the other siblings. And the other sons, if there weren't any other sons, then it would go to daughters. But the younger son didn't get the full inheritance the older son did. But the younger son wanted his portion of the inheritance. And you know what the father did? The father just split it in half and he gave him his half, which was very significant. Okay, so the older son, that probably offended him somewhat. But you know what? The older son stayed home. The older son kept working. The older son kept serving his dad. The younger son went out, and let me tell you, he had, it was like Mardi Gras times 1,000 for as long as that money held out. Man, what he spent it on. He spent it on loose living and loose women and all kinds of loose stuff. And everything flew apart in his life. But listen, he finally ended up with nothing. He thought, okay, I know how to work. I'll just go work. But he realized, listen, that the grace part of it. See, what we have to realize is the grace of us being where we're supposed to be. Man, this may very well be the only place. You're very, really smart to be here today. This may be the only place on the planet, the church, where people aren't in discord and are in one accord, that there's agreement here. See, what's interesting is that you'll hear people say, man, the world doesn't have a problem with Jesus. The world's got a problem with the people that are communicating Jesus. I do not agree with that. I think what the world has a problem with is us saying Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the answer. That's the problem. But see, let me just tell you, that's the truth. So now we've got there's a dilemma, man, there's a confliction. Man, Jesus is the only way, that's the truth. But it just seems like it's so narrow, but narrows the way and narrows the gate. We gotta squeeze through it. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to squeeze worldly people, we're trying to squeeze prodigal, we're trying to squeeze lost people through that narrow gate. Man, here's the scenario. This is the best case scenario for you. Give up everything. Follow Jesus. Yeah, but I'm wealthy. I'm rich. Man, I've done everything I was supposed to do. Okay, that's great. Take everything you have, sell it, give the proceeds to the poor, and come follow me. I've worked all my life for this. See, and you realize, understand that Jesus at this time was building a bridge. That's what the Gospels are. The Gospels are a bridge from an old covenant from the law that God never intended his children to live under, but they cried out for law, so God gave them the law. Why did God give them the law if that wasn't his plan? Because the law pointed them to his plan. There's no way that we could fulfill. There's no way that we could live by the law. Man, if we've got to live our lives and never break any of the laws or the commandments, we're cooked. We can't do it. So everything pointed back to Jesus. Everything in the old covenant points to a Savior, points to Jesus. And we refer to that as prophetic. So then Jesus then lived on this earth, and for 3.5 years, he called to himself 12 guys. It seems so random. A tax collector, fisherman, a doctor. And you know what he did? And some of them were just, hey, can my brothers come too? Sure. His two half-brothers weren't apostles of the Lamb. They weren't disciples at that time. They didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't buy in until after the resurrection. Man, we want to talk about doubting Thomas. Man, how about doubting James and doubting Jude? See, so what Jesus had to do, he did this old covenant that the Bible refers to in 1 Corinthians, I think 15:45, says that Adam was a living being, But the last Adam, who's Jesus, is a life-giving being. See, they're two different things. See, most church people were thinking, man, I'm going to be a living being. And that's not what God's called us to be. That's not where your purpose is. Man, how many of you guys want to live your purpose? Can I see your hands? Wave to me if you want to live your... Man, be aggressive about it. I want to live my purpose. Man, wave your hands at me. You want to live your purpose, you've got to become a life-giving spirit, a life-giving being. And not just a living being. I'm not just a human being. Because let me tell you, man, the frailties and the inadequacies and the insecurities and the inhibitions all come up with me being a human being. Me being a life-giving spirit, that's completely different. That's where Paul could say, it's not no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. These words that I'm telling you, they're not from me, they're from God. You're thinking, oh my gosh. But let me tell you, that requires revelation of the Holy Spirit. That requires us becoming life-giving spirits like what Jesus was. And the Bible even says, as he is on the earth, so are we. See, so now we look at it, and here's this prodigal son takes it, he spends everything, he's got nothing. He can't get or keep a job. So he finally goes and he's working with this pig farm. Let me tell you, who was outside of the city, these people didn't eat pork. These were people that, it's like, well, all he could do was tend to pigs. Man, this wasn't, you can't imagine how low a position that was. Unclean animals. And so to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, and he was eating what the pigs were eating, the slop. And he finally was there and he said, you know, I think about even the servants in my dad's house. They eat so much better than me. They have it so much better. If I could, I know I've squandered everything. I no longer can be a son. I'll go back and just, I'm going to see if I can just go be a servant in my father's house. Let me tell you what a gift on your life. Charles Finney called the conviction of God a gift to Christians. You know, we look at it, we think a conviction, we're thinking it negative because the world looks at it, that's an indictment, that's shame, that's guilt. But conviction with God is God's loving kindness draws men to repentance. See, so many people in this room, so many people at Sky Tickets, the pulpit, watching from your homes or wherever you are, that there's just simple repentance is going to change everything. Repentance has changed how you, to just flip on how you think and how you speak and how you act. And you know what? God's going to lead and guide you in all truth. And his loving kindness, his conviction becomes a gift in our lives. Man, I want to stay pliable. Man, clean hands and a pure heart. God created me a right heart, oh God. See, I got saved in 1979. I'm coming on 39 years as a Christian. It was a lot more fun to say when I said, man, I've been a Christian for 3 years or 5 years or 9 years, but now it's 39. I'm like, dear God, what's happened? But 39 years ago, man, what happened is there was a buy-in for me. Is that God reached into my soul and flipped a switch that like emerging leadership started developing in my life. I knew it was something different. I knew there was I needed a radical change in my life. But all it took was just simple, like this simple conviction of God, his loving kindness to flip me, and I'm going the opposite direction that I was going. All my buddies and all my vices and all my habits are going the other direction. And they're like, Shear, where are you going? It's like, I don't know. What did he tell Abraham? I'm going to send you to a land. Leave your father. I'm going to send you to a land of which I'm going to show you. What did Elijah say to Elisha? Go where I go, do what I do, see what I see. When we get there, you'll have it. Well, here's this prodigal son just thinking, I got to find my way home. I know I've squandered everything, and I know I can't be a son anymore. I'm disqualified. Anybody ever felt that way? Anybody feel like that today? So you know what? He started making his way back home. You know, in my heart, I see him turning the corner a quarter of a mile down the path, and one of the servants coming running up to the man of the house saying, hey, there's someone coming, and it looks like your son. He said, hey, stop everything. Get everybody out of the fields. Get them out of the barns. Bring them out. Bring them out from the yards. And you know what? Just get every man, kill the fatted calf. Get me a robe to put on his shoulders. Give me a ring to put on his finger. They came and they told the older son, they're like, hey, come out of the fields. And I think it's your brother's here. And he's thinking, that's good. I'm glad he's here because, man, my dad's going to give him what for leaving. I've heard stories of him squandering everything. But no, you know what the dad did? The dad ran to him, threw his arms around him, threw the robe on his shoulders, put the ring on his finger. Man, the family honor. Said, kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. It's a time of celebration. Everybody, come on. Just like, listen, the man with the sheep, the woman with the coin, they got everybody. They said, let's celebrate. But this is completely different because they search for the sheep and they search for the coin. The dad just had to endure that and trust that his son was coming home. It takes 6 months to fatten a calf, and so he always had to keep a calf ready for this celebration. He said, my son has come home. And the older son came and said, Dad, you've never thrown a party for me. Why are you throwing a party for him? He has squandered everything. He looked at his son. He probably grabbed him. He said, you don't get it. My son who was dead has come alive. My son who was lost is found now. God is dealing with your heart right now. If you're prodigal, or if there's prodigal people in your life, or if you're judgmental or critical or religious about anything. You know, I want to tell you, I don't have a religious bone in my body. But then attitudes and things come up in my heart. I begin judging people because they're opinionated. I'm critical of people because they don't have their doors open to people. You know, we're the church. You could come in and we put our pride in that, yeah, you're tatted up, that's fine. You've got a record, that's okay. You've been divorced, we're great with that. Man, you're young, you've never been at church, come on in, man, we're a church for you. But do you understand that pride doesn't lead men to repentance? It's like God's loving kindness that does. And it's not just loving kindness to the people who agree with you or the people who need you. It's loving kindness to people that disagree with you. It's loving kindness to people that, you know, I had an opportunity a year or so ago, and I was in Washington, D.C. with a couple pastors, and we happened to be in a meeting with some senators and some congressmen and a couple Supreme Court judges that were there. And it was Elizabeth Dole's foundation that was going to help spouses of disabled veterans who'd come home. We're helping those veterans. The VA is doing everything they can, but who's helping spouses? You know, and you can envision this 23-year-old girl that's pregnant with a 2-year-old, and her husband comes home that has had head injuries or had his legs blown off, and she's got a deal, and nobody's there for her. And so we were meeting about that, and I happened to begin a conversation with Nancy Pelosi, a representative from California. And I was just talking to her, and she said, now, tell me your name. And I said, my name is Bill Scheer. And she said, Bill Scheer, what church are you with? I said, God. She goes, yes. My staff was looking into that church. It's amazing some of the things you do. Tell me what you guys do on Fridays. And I told her, she goes, oh, that's so amazing. I said, well, we're talking. And I'm looking around, and all these people are having similar conversations with all these politicians. And let me tell you, I've told this story, and people judge me. People have things to say about me for having this conversation with her. And I was just talking to her, and then this came up. I said, Nancy, I said, it would be amazing if you guys had a press conference right now and just rallied around this issue right here. Let's help spouses of disabled American veterans. She said, yeah, that would be amazing. I said, yeah, because what this represents is Jesus. She said, oh, yeah, it is. And I said, do you understand the name of Jesus is above every name? And she stopped, and she just looked at me and said, can you speak to me about that? I said, sure. Man, the name of Jesus holds all the answers to everything we need in life. She goes, please tell me more. See, you understand, the world needs us to be strong in Jesus. Are you listening to me? Needs us, listen, the world is so, man, the church has come through and it's been about us. We want to change people and we want to fix people. And God doesn't do that. What God does is heal people. Man, Nikki was up here singing. Guess what? She was in excruciating pain last night and pain this morning, and we prayed for her. She didn't need somebody to fix her. And she's going to soldier up and sing through the service. But guess what? She needs God's healing provision in her life. And that's what the name of Jesus can bring. Can anybody shout over that? Yeah. See, that's who we are. That's who we're about. What we're about is healing and restoration and forgiveness and honoring unlovely people. See, that's who we are. And it's not going to be comfortable. But it's going to equip your kids for that classroom they're going to sit in next year. Here, we're going to teach people how to treat people here, how to honor people here. Yeah, this is a respectful place, but let me tell you, respect really doesn't factor into it. It's respectful because we honor people. See, respect is earned. Honor's given. You guys that are guests in here, you guys that are visitors in here, you guys that are stuck in the mud sinners that are in here, I honor you for being here. I'm appreciative that you're here. You're why I'm here. And Jesus called those Pharisees whitewashed tombstones. They looked good on the outside, but they were dead on the inside. Anybody in here like that? You're dead on the inside? Man, Jesus can restore you. And let me tell you where purpose is. Our purpose is in us inviting and gathering and contacting and connecting people to the God who loves them. See, this isn't just about growing church because of numbers. This is about growing church because Jesus hung on that cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he breathed and breathed and breathed, knowing he's coming to his last breaths. He said, God, it's finished. We've done it. On the heels of feeling like God had, because God had to turn his face from him. Because you and I might very well be prodigal someday. So God had to turn his face from Jesus to become a sacrifice for our sin. A sacrifice for our pain. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is here today. It's a gift. Let God draw you back in with his loving kindness. You might be here today and your life may not be right with God. Jesus may not be Lord of your life. It doesn't take long for you to figure out what and who's Lord of your life. It's got to be Jesus. He's the only way. I know that's offensive to some people, but we can't live our lives good enough to go to heaven without him. With him, we're more than good enough. With him, there's a day that God's going to throw that robe on your shoulders and put that ring on your finger, and you're going to come into a feast that's going to be incredible. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person turns their life to God. You might be here and your life's not right with God. You might be here and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You might be here and you've been prodigal. You've been blowing your life on worldly stuff. You might be here and you just have need in your life that you just need the prayer of faith that'll save you. That someone can pray for you and God will reach into your world and pull you out of that pit and set your feet upon a rock and put a new song in your heart, restore you. Make you whole. to be eloquent. I'm thanking God for that personally. We just have to be right with Him. And let me tell you what I think most people miss is the justification we have with God is it's justification by faith, by trust, not what we've done, not how we've grown up, not the family we were born into, not all of our good deeds. It's just because we trust God. I'm just trusting God. I'll tell you what's been amazing in the last 3 weeks is there has been so much doubt that has come into my head about these messages. It's been shocking. It's so obvious that it's the enemy. Such easy messages to preach, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And I'm telling you, I've had to utilize the shield of faith more than I have for any other messages or any other series I've ever done. I'm just saying that it's not just you that's going through what you're going through. We all go through things. Just don't do it alone. You've got people in your corner and on your side right here. And let me just tell you, it's not just living beings, it's life-giving spirits that are helping you.